All right, everybody, welcome back. Bio Bros episode 20. This time we're back to the over underrated format. This time we're doing reptiles. If you haven't watched the fish episode, that was a couple ago, go watch that one. It's kind of a cool concept here. Didn't come up with it originally, but it's a fun one. We just take, in this case, 12 products that are very popular or not popular enough in reptile keeping, and we just give our opinions whether we think they're overrated or if they're underrated and more people should get on them. So we'll just jump right into it because why not? First one I have on here is the snake hook. So this is the hooks you see people handling venomous snakes with, if you're unfamiliar. We'll also talk about like tongs. I guess we can kind of lump in like venomous snake handling gear. I say venomous with air quotes around it because you don't have to be venomous to use those tools. I'll just give my opinion right out the gate. I think they're very underrated.
I would also agree that they're very underrated and that you can't use them for anything because at my work we have two little black rat snakes or eastern rat snakes. Yeah, I use snake hooks on them because they're angry. Not that they'd hurt. I just don't feel like getting bit all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. Like, they're great for handling disgruntled snakes. I know some people just like take snake bites all the time. I don't, those people are nuts. I don't like
Yeah.
being bitten by snakes. I mean, I've definitely been bitten by plenty of snakes, but I don't like to be bitten by them. And really, in all honesty, I'm more comfortable handling snakes with snake hooks. I don't know. I feel more in control and all that. So I definitely prefer them. And they have more
Yeah.
than one use too. Like the tongs, those are great for grabbing anything that's like out of reach. They are handy around the house. And like I went hiking yesterday and I brought my snake hook with me, of course, because in case there's a snake out there. And primarily it was just a walking stick. Still great. Perfect dual use thing. And I, moved a couple little like things that I didn't really want to touch, like jumping cactus off of the path that was going on. Great tools just to have around. But like you're saying, you don't need them to be venomous snakes to be able to use snake hooks on them. I know people who use them when stealing eggs from like reticulated pythons and stuff. They get very aggressive. They'll use a larger snake hook to move them, and then they don't get bitten because big snakes still are gonna hurt if you get bitten.
Yeah, I didn't want to use the snake hooks because again, these rat snakes are like a foot and a half, 2 foot long, but they're smarter than you would think. And I say that because one of them, I can get to where she'll just go to get away from me, and I can then grab her tail and not, she won't turn around on me or do anything. The other one, I do that, he goes to run, I grab his tail, he turns around and comes right back at my hand to bite it. He's too damn smart. So I just, it's safer for them and for me to use the snake hook to move them out of their enclosure when they're getting fed and stuff. That way I'm not getting bit, they're not getting stressed out by trying to defend themselves from me, because the snake hook doesn't seem to upset them either. So that's another thing that's a benefit with it, is when you use stuff like that, is a lot of times they don't perceive it as a threat versus they would perceive you as a threat.
Yeah, that warm hand makes snakes flinch a lot because it feels like a predator because you kind of are. But there is a little bit of a stigma for using snake hooks with non-venomous snakes, but I don't care at all. Like,
Nope.
don't care. Yeah, man, sorry, I don't like getting bitten by snakes, even if they are non-venomous. If you're being spicy with me, you're getting the hook. All right. We'll go into the next one, the front opening glass enclosures. Didn't really want to name brands just because it sounds a little rude, but you know the ones. They sell them in every pet store, the little latching doors on them. Couple brands sell them, usually screen tops. What do you think about those ones, Alex?
I'd say they're underrated, to be honest.
See, in the first disagreement already, I think they're overrated. And I'll go into a little bit just right out of the gate. I think they're overrated because people look at them and they believe that they're the nicest tanks. They're fairly expensive. They come with a bunch of features. But I think a lot of the features I actually don't like. I would rather they didn't have them. I think they're on there more to sell the tanks and say it has this and that rather than actual usefulness on them. And in more display style scenarios, you end up covering at least one side and usually the two side panels as well. So you don't even get the benefit of having it fully glass around. And then like the screen lids are terrible if you're trying to keep anything tropical because they just lose all the humidity out of them. So then you have to modify the lid and just the plastic furniture tends to break. So I think like a nice PVC or melamine tank for a lot of cases can be better and cheaper than these glass ones.
I actually would agree. And the more I will say too, when I said like underrated, mine was kind of like with a contingency, I guess, because it depends on the brand too, in my opinion. Because when you're using certain brands from unnamed box store brands, those screen lids are trash. Not because they don't hold the animal in well or anything like that, but because they don't allow UVB to pass through. They don't allow heat to very well pass through. And I've noticed that significantly from my current job where we have a nature center. We had those brand tanks, and we had animals in those tanks with heat lamps on them and stuff, but then we switched them recently to a different tank, either without a lid because they're a box turtle or with a different screen lid. And it's like night and day. They are loving the heat from that heat lamp that is now able to get to them, and the UVB that is now able to get through them, because they've actually studied that box store brand's lids and shown that it cuts like 95% of the usable UVB when trying to pass through it or something like that. And the heat, I've just noticed that it does not allow the heat from heat lamps to pass through very well. But I also, the reason I said they were underrated was because I feel like a lot of people who don't, or like are not super into the reptile hobby or things like that, are just getting in, they a lot of times get the top opening tanks and they don't realize that is very stressful to a lot of reptiles, because when you're coming down from the top, they're thinking you're a predator. So that's kind of why it's underrated. Yeah.
If this was a top opening versus front opening debate, front opening cannot be overrated with reptiles. It's just so much better. My bearded dragon was in a top opening tank for a long time, and it was so annoying because every time I would have to move her for anything, I have to take the whole lid off. But where's her heat light sitting? On the lid. So now I have to take this hot heat light, turn it off, let it cool down, put it somewhere else where it's not going to burn anything, take the whole lid off, then pick up the lizard, who's not really all that happy with me. Then I have to do the whole process over again to put her back in. Very annoying. Now she's in a front opening tank. I just slide the door open, toss food in there, slide it back closed. Mm-hmm. I never mess with the lights. I never mess with anything. I can let her almost walk into my hand when I need to take her out. It is way better, but I just think those glass tanks tend to have some limitations on them that aren't great, and I think a lot of people perceive them as the top end, and they're not, in my opinion. And that's from somebody who's has like two of them for sure. Let's see, how many do I even have now? I have like three or four of those tanks, and I like them just fine. I think they're perfectly fine. Good products, just a little overrated, in my opinion. Not much, just a bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see that, too. So our next one that we're going to be getting into, and this one, I guess, I feel like both of us are going to agree wholeheartedly. So it's sand mats / reptile carpet. I say 100% completely overrated. They're trash.
Yeah. So reptile carpet and sand mats, we're putting them together because they all, for the most part, have the same downsides to them. The sand mat has one upside. It looks better, but it also has pretty much all the same cons as reptile carpets. They're advertised as easier to clean, and they are a nightmare to clean. They love to hold bacteria in there. It's a disaster. Solid alternative to a reptile carpet is a paper towel. You just throw it away and it's sanitary and it's cheap.
Plain white paper. Like, yeah. Not paper, but like the...
Yeah, you get like the big rolls of paper.
Yeah, I can't remember what kind of paper it's called.
Yeah, it's like you know what it is,
parchment
though.
Parchment paper or something.
Yeah. You know, the ones they'll put for like tablecloths at some restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that paper. Yeah. That stuff, if you're going to go for a more bare bottom style, which isn't necessarily bad. I know me and Alex are, we're both like on the team of looser substrates, naturalistic tanks, but there are definitely cases and it's not necessarily bad to use paper on the bottom of it, something like that. But the sand and carpet mats are just disasters to clean. They degrade very easy. They're very low quality. Like those sand mat ones, those little pebbles, they just fall right off and they hold bacteria. And the carpet ones, they'll get caught in the nails of lizards and they can hurt them even. So
you can rip their nails off.
Yeah, not ideal. Overrated item. All day. That's a quick agree on us for that one. But different kind of mat, heat mat. I'm going to start with this one. I think we're going to disagree. I think they're a little bit overrated. Very tiny bit, but I think they are overrated.
I actually agree. And not actually, no, I disagree, but agree, because I think they're very overrated instead of just a tiny bit.
Yeah. So the only reason I say a tiny bit is because they really are the most convenient way for a lot of people to get a warm and cool side of a tank. But I do think they're overrated because everyone, for some reason, feels like snakes can't have a heat light.
Yep.
I don't really know why that is. Well, I know why it is. It's because heat lights can be dangerous to snakes because they can wrap around them, they turn on, they get burned. But they invented the heat light cage. And you just put that cage over there. It's coated in a plastic that doesn't get very hot. Snake can't hurt itself anymore. And it has a more natural way of getting heat. So
I'd say that they're very overrated. And the reasoning I said that is because I think two reasons. One, I think they're used wrong most of the time. And when I say that, I think that they're put in the wrong place most of the time, or they're like restricted airflow or all the things it tells you not to do. I think most people end up doing. Also, every heat mat I have ever owned ends up peeling itself off of the tank because it got like dust or hair stuck to it and it won't stick anymore. And then the second reason is I think most animals that we keep, actually almost all reptiles that we keep, you could keep with a heat lamp instead, and it would probably be more natural than the heat mat for a couple of reasons. One, most reptiles, actually all reptiles that I know of, when they're starting to get too hot, either burrow down or going to hide in lower caves and stuff to get out of the heat. Now, if you're using a heat mat, an animal that is going to burrow down, they're going to be burrowing closer to the heat, which can kill them. That's a really big thing with like scorpions, is why the people who were like never put a heat mat underneath the scorpion tank, because they dig down to avoid heat. So saying that it was for reptiles, they dig down to get away from the heat. So if they're digging down and you got the heat mat on the bottom, they could get down there and get cooked. Also, I guess my second thought process of it, like with the more natural part, is there's nothing heating the ground outside other than the sun above. There's no heat coming from underneath that is heating reptiles' bellies up. Like, obviously, you dig a foot down or so, it's a constant temp of, like, 60-something degrees most of the time. Or, like, it fluctuates, obviously, because of the temperatures outside, but it's not hotter than the temperatures outside. So, for me, it's like, if you're using a heat lamp, that's acting as the sun, basically, and that's how they would be in the wild.
Yeah. Just for pretty much in agreement there. These next two will kind of go together a little bit. They'll be a little quicker because they're almost intertwined in a way, but they are different. Automatic mister, underrated, cannot, they're so good they cannot be overrated. There is one little tiny downfall, I will say, but I love them. I have a Mist King. Is great.
I agree. They are definitely underrated. And I have a feeling the downfall that I know you're going to say is the price, because they do tend to be expensive.
No, it's actually not even price. What it is, because I had one of the little small ones that's made for like one tank at one time, and I actually stopped using it. And I still have it. It's under my sink, just sitting there. But I stopped using it, actually, because it was too automated and it made me almost forget to go check on my animals and stuff.
I will. So, I can see that.
That is the one thing. But if you've got other stuff going on within the tanks that needs more daily attention, it can go to that. And that's a kind of a personal thing. For me, the reason I don't have an automatic humidifier in my grow tent is because I like to check on it every day. And for me, needing to water more often and monitor the conditions of it, that makes me do it more often. But the Mist King itself that I have, and the reason I'm shouting out that brand is because it's kind of unique in that what it does. It's great. Mm-hmm. It hasn't failed me ever, and it really has kept my conditions much more stable than I ever could have, allowing for multiple waterings within a day with still leaving the screen top open up a bit more, so I have more humidity fluctuations. I can allow it to dry out and then get re-wet, and I don't have to water it twice or three times a day. So
yeah,
that's really,
I mean,
nice. Big fan.
Yeah, and I also, like the other one, like I said, was they do tend to be more expensive. So they're not, the best solution for everyone, because yes, they're amazing. I also have a Mist King and absolutely love it. But I do know you kind of have to pay a pretty penny for them. Also the tendency to, if you don't use like distilled or RO water, mineral buildup, and then you have to replace head or like sprayer heads and stuff because they won't work.
Yeah, that definitely, they're not perfect, but they're great.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on to the next one, since they're really quickly here, because they're very close and sometimes people use them interchangeably. This is the Foggers. What do you think about those?
I'd say very, very underrated.
All right, here's a disagree for me, that I think a Fogger is overrated, but the Mister is underrated.
Okay.
Even though they sound similar. I say it because the Fogger has a harder time creating nice droplets, and it's not really like rain. It makes really cool aesthetics. If you're making like a nice scape to display, the Fogger does a really cool job at that. It raises humidity very well, but it doesn't necessarily simulate rain, and it doesn't really have the same droplet effect unless you really, really blast it. And if you really, really blast it, then you can get into the territory of respiratory issues with a lot of animals. So I think Foggers are overrated.
So I said they're underrated, and I have a slight counter. I don't think these are so, well, I personally don't believe foggers are a thing you should use by themselves. I think they should be used in tandem with a mister. Because of that exact reason where you were talking about the droplets, obviously they should go off at different times so that they're not, you're not just absolutely dunking this whole thing in water, basically. But I said I think they're underrated because I believe using a fogger like right first thing in the morning or possibly like a little later in the morning or something like that, or even right before the lights go off, I think is more of a natural way of like raising the humidity at those times. And the reason I say that is because like when I don't know about you, Shaw, because I know Arizona is desert dry all the time, but I know out here in the East Coast, a lot of times you wake up in the morning and there's dew all over the ground, which is exactly what the fogger basically be simulating, because they don't make droplets, but they do add moisture to everything they're touching. And so basically, like, it'd be like having a morning fog or like morning dew covering everything. And that's part of why I say they're underrated, because yes, I still believe they should be used in tandem with a mister, because the mister should be for the water droplets, for watering plants, and also for the animals to be able to lick the water droplets off of plants and things like that to gain water. But I think the fogger is a more natural way of raising humidity first thing in the morning or like right before the lights go off as a, like a dew simulation, basically.
Yeah, that's that is a very true point. And for like highland species like Abronia,
yep,
they need that. They need that fog because they live in cloud forests in South America. So they literally live in clouds. Like, it's, if you haven't seen pictures of cloud forests before, look them up. The clouds like come directly over the mountains, and so it's just straight fog at mainly morning and evening. And the temperature drops, humidity spikes. And so for species like that, they need to be put in a cloud. So fogger, awesome for a lot of those. I think partially they're overrated too, is because people use them or want to use them alone, and they're not very good at their job alone. If you do it like Alex was saying, they are pretty cool, and they do look cool.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not gonna lie, that they look really cool. So if you want that to look cool, go ahead, add one. They're not ultra, they're not dangerous, they're not gonna really hurt anything. The only way they're dangerous is if you completely fog the entire tank for a long time, like frequently, and it's an animal that can't tolerate that or is more likely to experience infection from constant 100% humidity. So,
you know, it's definitely something to use for like the more natural effect, basically, instead of just as a humidity raiser.
All right. You want to bring us into the next one?
Yeah, so the last, or not the last one, this next one, it's basically, in the reptile hobby, they have these outlets that you can plug your heat lamps and stuff into that have a thermostat hooked up to them. So I think that they are very underrated.
Yep, I'm in agreement right there.
Yeah, they are an amazing product. I don't see them used as often as I think they should be. Essentially, it's another way to make your animal's enclosure more natural. Basically, you have the outlet that you plug your heat lamp into, and that outlet has a thermostat hooked up to it that you put the probe in the tank underneath the basking light, the basking area, and you set the temperature. So say you set it to 105 degrees for your bearded dragon basking spot. Whenever that heat lamp heats that spot up to 105 degrees, that thermostat then turns power off to the outlet, so the lamp will turn off. Not only does that help protect your animals from getting burns and things like that, it also makes it more natural of, like, once it hits that certain spot, it's not going to go continuously hotter and hotter and hotter. Because, like, in nature, it's not going to go where it's going to cook an animal. Or if it does, they don't go around there. And then also, it actually seems to lengthen or like make the lifetime of your bulb longer, as your bulb is not constantly on and heating up that spot.
Pretty much in agreement. Especially if you're using heat mats, it's pretty much eliminates the risk of burn. Like we were saying earlier with heat mats, if some issues with them, this kind of negates pretty much all those issues, because you can keep it from burning the animal, because it isn't allowed to get that hot. Only thing I would say is if you're using it on a light, make sure you also have like aesthetic lights in the tank that don't produce any heat, like LEDs of some kind.
Yeah.
Just so that way it doesn't mess with the circadian rhythm all that bad, and it won't look weird. You won't have a light, you won't have it going from light to dark to light to dark in your house, and it'll just go from brighter to a little less bright. It'll look nicer. Pro tip. Yeah. Next one. That was a quick one because we agreed. Waterfall bowls. Underrated. Yeah. I think they're underrated.
Okay.
And here's why. A lot of reptiles are smarter than people lead on, so you can train them. So I know you pull up examples and be like, oh, look, here's this and that animal drinking from a bowl. I know. But most of them don't recognize water when it's still as water. Mm-hmm. So it kind of needs to be moving. And that's what those waterfall bowls will do. They'll make it moving water so the animal's like, oh, yes, that is water. I can drink that. So I think a lot of more sensitive species definitely benefit from that, especially at chameleons. Yeah, you're not... Good luck training a chameleon to drink from a steel bowl. I've never seen it done. But I have seen them drink out of what I would still classify as the waterfall bowl. It's just water constantly running over some fake leaves with a little reservoir in there. But I still classify that same thing. And if done right, they look cool too. Waterfalls look neat.
So I said overrated, and the reason I stuck with that is I agree that a lot of reptiles will not drink from a standing water bowl because they don't recognize that it's water. But I think something like a drip system or a mister would be better for a couple of reasons. One, if you're using a dripper, it's a slow drip of water into the bowl that causes it to move. And a lot of times that's what reptiles in nature would recognize more. And yes, there will be running water, but a lot of times, like with chameleons, they're not down on the ground, so they're not going to be seeing running water like that in nature. They would see droplets of water falling off of leaves and stuff into a reservoir that holds water. Second, depending on the one, because there's different styles, the one type of waterfall bowl that's like the fake rocks, I think those are horrible because I think they harbor bacteria really badly. Because they have a pump down in the bowl that pumps it and goes through over and over again. But I've seen them used before in reptile enclosures and stuff, and prey items fall in there, and then they get sucked over to the filter. And a lot of times, you really can't notice it unless you're taking the filter apart or taking the whole bowl apart every day. And that can turn very bad very quickly for your reptiles. Especially if there's just rotting insects inside of the bowl and you don't know that they're there. So I think that there's better ways to do it.
Yeah, I definitely see your point on that one. My real, I guess more true opinion would be build your own waterfall. They're not really that hard. I believe a company even sells a waterfall kit. Like it gives you everything you need to make a waterfall. Does. Yeah, which is super cool. It's really not that hard. I've done it before. That would be like the best to build your own custom one. Everybody does, not everybody wants to do that. But I still think that it can be helpful to keeping your animals hydrated.
Oh yeah.
Because you're not watching them 24/7. You don't really know if they're using that water bowl or not. Next one.
One other thing I forgot about because I just thought about it with you. We were talking about the leaf dropping one. With the water bowls. if you're using certain ones, like the one where you're talking about where it's like this big fake tree where the leaves are dropping, it's dropping from leaf to leaf back into a reservoir. We've used those at my job before, and the thing, we couldn't figure out why it was doing this. It kept flooding the tank. So that was another problem that I've ran into with that style specifically, was it there was no leaks in the bowl. We couldn't figure out what was happening, and it just would flood the entire bottom of the tank over and over and over again.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so make sure you get a good one. Apparently, they have some quality control issues over there.
Sometimes.
Occasionally, yeah. All right, next one is the is long feeding tongs. I'm not necessarily talking about the ultra huge ones, but even just like the normal, more standard, like foot long ones. I think those are like the most underrated things ever. I use those every day, pretty much, and not even just for feeding. Or hand feeding, even. Like, I use them all the time to hold stuff. I'll use them to, like, hold up a leaf when I'm propagating plants in there. I'll use them to move little things around, use them for aquascaping. They're some of my most used tools.
Yeah, I also agree. I think they are underrated. I use them for just about everything, not only just feeding, like you'd said, but like if I'm planting aquatic plants, or if I'm trying to grab something out of an enclosure, or currently where I have a giant snapping turtle that I'm trying to clear up some stuff, possible eye infection that we believe he has. When I'm feeding him, I don't want my hand in front of him. But I just think they're an amazing tool. They're way underused. I will, one caveat with them is I think more people, when like using them as feeding tongs, need to use the ones that have the like silicone tips on them so that your animal's not constantly just grabbing a metal tips with their teeth.
Yeah, those are nice. But I've even seen the really big ones. Like you'll see some that are like comically large tweezers. I've seen those with rubber coatings on them used for venom extractions on snakes.
Yep.
And a safer way to go about that rather than using your hand. Got a little tool down there. So those are great. They're cheap. Get a pair of them. I've got like three pairs. They're great. Awesome. Next one, I'll be a quick one too, because I bet a good amount that we're gonna agree on this one. Turtle filters. Anything like you'll see, go to the pet store, you'll see regular aquarium filters, and then you'll see the turtle aquarium filters. They're insanely overrated because they're the same as the fish filters, and usually just worse versions of them because they're a little bit of a scam.
Yeah, I think they're very overrated because, like you said, they're a worse version because normally they're just a pump that you would see for anything else, like a pond or anything, just to pull in water. And then one little filter of, like you would have in an aquarium filter. As well, they are way too small. Like that pump is not rated for anything over like 15 gallons of water.
Yeah, or
And
even the big ones, like occasionally you'll see the big fancy one. It's just a canister filter.
oh yeah.
And even at that, it's just a bad canister filter and kind of
Turtles are
small,
dirty.
still only rated for like 40 gallons. And you shouldn't really be keeping most turtles. I know there are some examples of small turtles, but generally here what we're talking about is like a red ear slider, pretty much what everybody keeps. That turtle needs at least like a 100 gallon footprint. They're big. I need to weigh mine really, just so I have a real example of it. But they're not small critters, and that shell doesn't move, so they need a lot of room to be able to turn around and maneuver. So those turtle products, they're just no good. They're overpriced and under deliver.
Yeah, I mean, turtles, like we I said, are dirty, and I don't mean that as like, oh, the actual turtle itself is dirty. No, they just muck up water in 2 seconds flat, and there's
Yeah.
filters. I've had them over and over again get clogged with all the muck from the turtles, and then I have to go in there and fix the entire filter just to get it to run again.
Oh yeah, every single spring, my pond pump, which is like a fairly nice pond pump, it gets clogged up multiple times every single spring when my turtles shed their winter scutes, just because it's hard. It's the same material like your fingernails. It's like that all over your tank. They're messy eaters, and they're not small, so they create not small waste. So you do need a pretty big filter. If you have, let's say, a 100-gallon tank, you should get a filter rated for like 150 gallons for a turtle, just because they're gross.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so we agreed on that one. So another quick one. Bring us in the next one for us.
So the next one is basically red-colored heat lamps or heat bulbs. I think they are extremely overrated.
Yeah, I agree. I've used them, and I have a temperature gun, so I can shoot temperatures everywhere and just figure it out. They're bad. They're not good at their job.
Well, not only that are they bad and not good at their job, they are full of crap, and I say that because I don't know about you, but I know almost every time I've seen one, they're like, oh, for your nocturnal animals, because they can't see the light. Or she can't see red. Even if they couldn't see red, they can still see the bright light that is beaming down on them all night long.
It's just a light bulb they painted red.
Yeah, I mean, they still...
Their light exists. Even if
they can't see the color red, they can still see light.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're horrible, especially for nocturnal animals. They're horrible.
Especially when the ceramic heat emitter exists.
Yeah. Which, like, I'm not saying those are perfect, because I wouldn't say those are great for basking areas, just because I feel like they heat the air more than the actual, like, area below them, which they are designed to do. But they are a much better solution than a extremely bright red light at night that is now not only keeping your animal awake, but probably keeping you awake if you're in the same room.
Yeah, and they don't work.
No,
they're not. They don't get hot.
No,
they get warm, but they're not like a real deal like halogen bulb.
I think it depends, because I remember they used to. I will say, ZoomEd used to, and I don't know if they still do. They used to have basically the exact same basking bulb as the daylight bulbs, but red. So those still got pretty hot because they were that same wattage, same strength basking bulbs, just red.
Yeah, I haven't messed with those, so I won't speak on that. But the ones I've used have been weak. All right. So another quick one. We're on a hot streak of agreement. Next one, bioactive products. So what I mean by that is things following the bioactive trend of the past few years. It's cooled down a little bit, but that bioactive word, a lot of products and things have been coming around surrounding it, and I think most of those products are pretty overrated because they're just chasing a trend. Usually you'll see like, oh, these are bioactive, and it's just, or bioactive substrate, and it's just coconut fiber and like a little bit of like activated charcoal in it, and
yeah,
that's
I,
and they charge twice I, as much for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's turned into a term that people just slap onto products, or companies just slap on the products to make them sell for more. And they're a lot of, it's just like the turtle filters. They are overpriced and underperforming.
Yeah. I mean, like we talked about too on this show, I don't remember what episode it was, but you're talking about the differences between bioactive and naturalistic. That's what a lot of these products are, too. They're talking about bioactive, and they just mean naturalistic. Bioactivity comes from creating that full ecosystem, so you're going to have a cleanup crew in there. And the cleanup crew is what makes it bioactive, not the real rocks you're using, not fake rocks.
Yeah.
That makes it more naturalistic. So I think a lot of that is just a good buzzword people like. So I haven't really seen a good like big box store product that's marketed as bioactive that's been great or hasn't had a better alternative or something I wouldn't rather just make myself.
I agree.
I prefer to make my own soil blends just because I can customize it a little bit. And it ends up working out to be about the same cost, but it's more exact to what I want.
Yeah.
All right. Very last one here. 3D background.
I think they're very underrated.
I'm going to actually disagree on this one. This was kind of a last minute change of mind I had. I'm going to say they're overrated, and here's why. I think most people, in most cases, don't make them in a way that actually benefits the animal, and they actually just take away usable space.
So, I will say, when I put this on the list, I wasn't exactly talking about the ones that people make. I was more talking about like the ones that you can buy that are like pre-made. Because I've started seeing more and more of those in
yeah,
stores.
Yeah, and even those ones I'm going to stay with too, like the ones that come in the front opening tanks, like mm-hmm. those ones too. Most animals can't really use those.
No, not those. I've started seeing more and more like similar to custom cages style.
At, like, yeah, some of those fancy ones are really fancy, and those are good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm seeing more of those style in stores lately.
Yeah, those ones are nice.
Yeah, that's what I was like kind of hinting to, or like leading towards. But now that I think about it, I also agree, like with those like handmade ones, and also the ones that are like in the tanks, the front opening tanks. Those are overrated. But the ones that are like the really nice ones, like custom cages, or the ones that I'm starting to see more that are similar to that, way underrated.
Well, like I said, I kind of made a last minute change to my decision because I was thinking about my 3D background that I've made. And those have all had a big emphasis on functionality. And even when I've messed up, right? Like some of mine aren't great, but that was a big thought for me. It took me hours of planning to get my Bearded Dragon's tank right how I wanted it, so it was more usable and had different levels. And I made a greens bowl into the background, so that way I have just a bowl constantly there. I have multiple elevation changes in there that are usable that she climbs on and can go in. And that was what I had in my mind at first. And then I was thinking about the classic spray foam and coconut fiber ones. And those, I think they just take up usable space for the most part. And the animal can't climb on that. A lot of people don't utilize them to grow plants that would provide cover or nutrient export from the tank or any other benefits that live plants have. They can't really grow in there. So that's why I went with overrated. Because again, kind of a theme I have is I think a lot of people believe a 3D background is like the bee's knees. And in a lot of cases, it isn't. Some cases, definitely. Some people make insanely beautiful functional backgrounds that they truly elevate the tank. They, like in the case of my Bearded Dragon, and I could have done this even better. She's in a 2 foot tall tank, and most people who keep a Bearded Dragon 2 foot tall tank, Lizard only ever gets to use 12 inches of the tank because of how it escaped. But I tried to set mine up so she could use as much of that space as possible. And that I think was good. And if all 3D backgrounds were like that, they would be, in similar case to some other items I said, they're so good they couldn't be overrated.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more so of a case-by-case thing than I originally was thinking. Because I, like, now that I'm thinking more into it, I agree with you. I think it is way more of a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and some of the stuff is, and there isn't a right answer or a wrong answer. You know, this is an opinion-based episode.
Yeah.
All right. So, longer one today. We're at 45 minutes already. Yeah. I think I liked doing more products like that. I think last time we only did 10. I think the extra two were
Yes.
cool. Yeah. So if you have any products that you have an opinion on, drop it in the comments and give us your opinion on it. This is no wrong answers, no right answers. We're not hating on anything. This is
no,
just none of these products are necessarily exclusively bad. Even the red heat lamps do have use occasionally, and we were kind of haters on those. And even like mat based carpet things, I could see uses for them. They're not all bad.
That one, I don't know if I can see uses on, but the red heat lamp I can, because most people who use them, not for always for reptiles, but they use them for like raising chicks, which I think they're supposed to be pretty good for that.
Yeah, and so that's what I mean by like they're not necessarily bad. It's just our thoughts on it, and they don't doesn't necessarily mean we're right or wrong. It's our opinion on it. So, drop a comment if you've got anything on there, or if you think we were wrong and you have like on anything we both agreed on. If you disagree with us, let us know. I'd definitely be open to discussion on all that stuff. All right, so we will see you on the next one. We'll probably round out this series. We'll probably do plants a couple weeks or so.
I think next week we're going to try and start a new series, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we won't go back to back.
No.
But expect plants. If you made it this far, you get a little sneak peek. Expect plants eventually. A lot of plants. Leave one in the comments if you got one already. We could use ideas.
Expect some plant content in the next couple of weeks. See you guys.